The Avengers Follow the White Rabbit is a podcast dedicated to practical politics. Practical politics is, of course, called practical politics because it is all non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is always rule-based politics. Every 2 years, every 4 years, it's basically what you do at the voting booth. And then there is full-spectrum practical politics, or engaging and taking down an opponent by any means necessary, using the rules, but never breaking the rules. But to do anything, we have to start with practical politics, and in this case, it's the art of staying on message. It's having a consistent message. And our consistent message is a mantra, or white rabbit genocide you see on this front page. And we will also, in this podcast, engage in the geopolitical. We will talk about geopolitical events. We will talk about things from a unique white rabbit perspective. We will also go into white rabbit psychology and ecology and talk about everything you'd want to know about the indigenous white rabbits of Europe. And this is, again, the Horus the Avengers, Follow the White Rabbit. We're going to talk for a minute about where our struggle's at. Bob Whitaker has noted on his blog that this message has went geometric. And geometric means things have really picked up speed over the past month and a half or so, and things are starting to really, really pound through the system in regards to genocide. And right now we have one of our first formal complaints at the United Nations over an attempted genocide by a U.S. citizen in regards to U.S. European-American Christians. We're going to talk about that a little bit, and I'm going to tell you about the template, the team on Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar, everyone behind it, everyone on your, everyone above you, basically, is using the template they are using to bring down this type of system, how this template is applied. It's very simple, it's not necessarily easy, and involves repetition. And the template was developed in communism, was perfected by the team that brought down what you think of as the Soviet Union. And in fact, that team right now, what I've gathered is Bob Whitaker still considers himself as fighting communism. And in a way, maybe you can understand his point. The environmental movement is now dominated by communists. Yeah, that's all they are, is communists. When the Soviet Union, when the Berlin Wall fell, they became environmentalists. They have to have something new to push their agenda. And communism can take many forms. And of course, the neocons are famous communists, and they're at the top of the Republican Party. Obama has several communist connections. So this is nothing new. Fighting this type of mindset is nothing new. But in a closed society, in communism, what they would do is something very, very simple. They laid the groundwork. They laid the groundwork for the big one-liner. And I'm going to go into this. But what they did, what Bob Whitaker and a small team did all the time, was they brought out consistent messages that pointed out the contradictions. You know, if communism is so wonderful, and believe me, at the time, the big communist conspiracy and was, you know, all this stuff was being pushed by all these people that communism was an ideal society that was so wonderful. And they would say, if it's so wonderful, why do you have to have guards at the border to keep people in? If it's so wonderful, why can't another people leave? you know, if you got to have guards at the border to keep people in, and these guards have guns, well, then how wonderful can it be? And they would point out these simple contradictions over and over again. There were several different key talking points he used. And then, of course, you would have to ask him specifically about what they were using, and that's come out in various different books. But they were doing very simple things, things that almost look trivial. He would ask him over and over again. When you look at the mantra that we're using now, the different talking points, when you're called a racist, in your opinion I'm a racist, you're just saying that because I'm white, anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. It sounds simple. It sounds trivial. It sounds trite. It sounds only to the naive. The establishment knows exactly what you're doing. They know exactly what we're doing, and it is totally legal. Basically, what you're saying is that only whites are racist, and that all whites are racist under this particular system. Instead of walking around London saying, I am a racist, where you can get thrown in jail, you say, in your opinion, I'm a racist, you're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. You're basically saying the same thing, but you're undermining the system. It's also more dynamic. You're speaking for everyone white in the area, not just yourself. We always want to use dynamic statements, making sure we never get in the way of us. You know, I don't deal with me's, I deal with we's, making sure I never get in the way of us. We always want to use dynamic statements and speak for all the white rabbits in the area. But this is starting to take off. Bob Whitaker says it's going geometric. That means that someone has called him and they've affirmed that it's went geometric, and you can just see it pounding through the system. Not just through white nationalists, through larger and larger groups. Most of the people affected by this stuff will never know they're affected by it. Seriously. Most of your neighbors that were affected by that Obama, oh yes we can, never knew they were affected by it until it was too late. That's how this stuff works. But in a closed society, if you point out its contradictions over and over again, it lays the groundwork. Everything starts crumbling. What happens is repetition. It's like a good commercial. You have to play it over and over again to get those rabbits to buy those tacos. You know, they don't play one good commercial once. They play it over and over again. Why does this work? It works for the same reason most smart people think it doesn't work. It works because the masses are always asses. We are all susceptible to the right sound, to the right image at the right time. We can't escape sound. Right now, every rabbit on this planet has heard the mantra. That sounds profound, doesn't it? But that's how sound works. When you say the mantra, when you say something like, in your opinion, I'm a racist, you're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. Everyone on the planet heard me on some level. That is the way sound works. Sound does not stop at the walls. Sound does not stop in America. Sound does not stop because of water. Sound permeates everything. That's why we are so, if you ever heard some wonderful song, it just sets you on fire all day. Maybe you heard some black metal song, or maybe you heard Mozart. It changes your whole entire reality. That's what sound does. Sound is very, very underrated and very profound. It always amused me when we're watching old Bob Whitaker on Stormfront, and he had found out about Stormfront, and he went over there, and he was trying to, I believe the mantra was pretty much already refined. He was putting them on a consistent message, or starting to put the little white rabbits over at Stormfront on a consistent message. Now, Bob was pretty critical of all the Republicans. I'll tell you a funny story. Bob was very critical of all the Republicans. He's always been critical of everyone. If you've read A Plague in Both Your Houses, he was extremely critical of Ronald Reagan. But he ended up a Reagan appointee in charge of all civilian security clearances and federal staffing. And so now you have a former Reagan appointee in charge of all civilian security clearances and federal staffing sitting on Stormfront, putting little white rabbits on a consistent message, or at least attempting to. And he made some headway there. You know, obviously there's a generational disconnect, in my opinion, between a lot of the young white rabbits and old Bob. It takes a while. But by and large, that's what he's doing. That's huge news. The ideal that someone that is notorious as he is in some of these different groups for bringing down the Berlin Wall and all that type of stuff, bringing down communism, what they did against communism, and I'm talking about his particular skill set, his skill set to point out contradictions, his skill sets to refine a consistent message that will bring down a closed society where someone owns the truth. And if you disagree with that truth in regards to multiculturalism, multiracialism, well, you go to jail, that type of thing. In the Soviet Union, if you disagreed with scientific materialism, if you disagreed with it, you'd go to jail. You know, they own the truth. That's a closed society. But he has a particular skill set in pointing out these contradictions over and over again. And it was very amusing that a Reagan appointee in charge of all civilian security clearances and federal staffing could be sitting there on Stormfront putting them on a consistent message, and that none of our enemies even would mention it. Fascinating stuff, isn't it? That's big news. That's big news. He worked for the CIA. This is big news. That's big, big, big news. Oh, but it was such big news, they didn't want to repeat it. That's funny stuff. We were sitting there, and the bet was that they would never mention it, and they never have. Why would you give something like that publicity? You're not going to. The only correct response to the problem that a consistent message like this creates is no response. The only correct reaction is no reaction. Because as soon as you react, you're over with. It's problem, reaction, solution. We own the solutions. Because we're pointing out the problem, the contradictions again and again. But it was always interesting to watch this go forward. And of course, in communism, like the Obama presidency had one key statement, oh yes we can, and that kicked off everything, right? Believe it or not, the Berlin Wall had something very similar, written by a very, very clever group. Very simple. It's so simple, it's provocative. Most of you have heard it. Every single one listening to this have heard it, but you don't know what you're listening to. Ronald Reagan stood up and he said, Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And tear down this wall started echoing across Europe. Tear down this wall started echoing across the world. The group behind that, it sounds so trivial, it sounds accidental, but it was anything but. It's the right words at the right time in a closed society and everything starts crumbling. It's a catalyst statement. It's a catalyst. Like Obama had the catalyst of, oh yes we can, tear down this wall was a catalyst. But that groundwork for tear down this wall was laid by all these contradictions they were pointing out. Why, if the communism is so wonderful, why do they have to have guards at the border to keep people in? Sounds trivial, but they were doing over and over and over again. If multiculturalism and multiracialism is so wonderful, why is it only, why are you forcing it on us? You know, and if you look at the mantra, you're dealing with a contradiction. That this integration, assimilation, this genocide through assimilation is for only white children's homes, only white children's churches, only white children's countries, and only white leaders are pushing it. It's genocide. This racism is only for children, white children's homes, only for white children's churches, only for white children's countries. Only white leaders are pushing it. It's genocide. This immigration, this non-European immigration, no one's talking about immigrating anyone into Mexico and created a blended humanity there. No one's talking about China needs immigrants. This is only for white children's homes, only for white children's countries, only for only white leaders are pushing it. It's genocide. Genocide through assimilation. That's our message. And we are on message over and over again. We're going to point out these contradictions, and that's what you're doing. You're pointing out the contradictions over and over and over again, and no closed society can stand on that. The key is repetition. The key is to play the commercial over and over again. You don't know how many times people will say that, that this stuff can't work because, people are too thick-headed. Well, that the masses are asses. That's why it does work. We're susceptible to be conditioned through sound. It's happened your whole entire life. Your whole entire life, you've been dominated by a word racist. The reason our opponents yell racism is because it works. They do what works. And when you do what works, you do it over and over again. That's what makes it work. They won't stop saying racism until it stops working for them. It's that simple. But some people want to make this too difficult. All your life, you've been dominated by simple words. But yet they'll turn around and say, Horace, that won't work. It's too simple. Well, it's worked on you your whole entire life. At work, just recently, I'm sure someone listening to this was afraid to speak up because they were afraid of being called a racist. That's what we do. We give you things to say to undermine that at the very core, at the local level, to set up the big tear down this wall so this whole thing comes crumbling down. But that's why it works. It works off repetition. You just have to have someone talented to do it. And we have that. And some of it is not any conservative or white rabbit's fault. There's no white rabbit in the world who is really at fault for the consistent message coming out when it did. You see, you have to have the only way to neutralize the type of media control our opponent has is you need some type of new media, basically. 15 years under a new medium. We have that with the internet. We own the net. Yes, we own it outright. White rabbits own that. We invented it. But we do the simple things, big things start happening. When we do the simple things over and over again, big things start happening. Nothing big is going to happen off anything big in this type of closed society. It happens off the simple things over and over again, pointing out the contradictions. And when you do that, you are tearing this thing down. Every time you answer someone that yells you're a racist, in your opinion I'm a racist, you're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. You are tearing this thing down. That's why they don't talk about us. That's why you will never hear any SPLC fundraising letter about Bob Whitaker's on Stormfront putting white nationalists on a consistent message. Oh, he brought down communism. You know, that Ronald Reagan stuff. Tear down this wall. Berlin Wall came down. You won't hear that. You won't hear the Anti-Defamation League talk about us. We don't exist to them because they don't want you to know about this stuff. They want you to think this type of thing's brought down through bombs, but you've never once in the history of the world seen a closed society brought down through bombs. The Berlin Wall was not brought down through bombs. It was brought down through sound. It was brought down through one-liners at the right time. And the right sound at the right time, everything goes. There's no holding it back. And this thing is done. It's time. And we will continue to tear this thing down. Mantra by mantra, phrase by phrase, talking point by talking point, and it is done by pointing out its contradictions. That's what the mantra does. It points out its contradictions over and over again. And this works basically, especially around Europeans, because race is real. We have a capacity for objective truth. We're always looking for it. And on a subconscious level, they can't escape the objective truth of that it's only white children, it's only white countries, and it is only us, and it is genocide. They can't escape it. And this has now started coming bubbling up. And it's bubbling up through the surface. It is tearing through the surface of these closed societies across the West. It is starting to be talked about in very odd places. And there is a woman, and the woman is out in California, actually. And we're going to talk about her for a second. And the lady's name is Terry Graham, and I'm going to use her name because she sent out a whole entire press report. And she's done this before. She's done this in 1998. But for this type of strategy to work, you need a consistent message out there like now for it to really, really be effective. But it is a viable strategy for any individual. And this complaint was written from the United States, so any individual in the United States could just copy the complaint, put their name on it, send it into the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights in Geneva. Now, of course, the charges immediately come out from all the white nationalists and all the conservatives and all the know-it-alls that say, well, Horace, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights in Geneva isn't going to do anything. But you see, I'm not a legal eagle, so I didn't have a response for him right away. But let me explain to you what a genius this lady is. She knows a little bit about the law. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they do. They most likely would drag their legs and drag their feet on a ruling. Bury it in the sand or so, or send her something saying they're looking into it. But that's not really what they're looking for. I found out exactly how this type of complaint works. They would most likely see if she files in another country. You see, the genius of this approach is what she's doing. She's pointing out the contradiction of that there's been a series of violations of human rights laws, and these violations of human rights laws are only allowed to go on around European Christians. And in this case, she's an American citizen, so she said European American Christian. She's written it on behalf of U.S. citizens, but it could be done in any country in the West. The ingenious about it, she's pointing out the contradiction of genocide, and she's pointing out genocide, not ethnic cleansing, but genocide. She's pointing out something very peculiar, very particular, and she's pointing out the contradiction in the law. The law is not being applied to us. The law is applied to Europeans when we do something wrong. And in fairness to the white nationals, what this particular individual was assuming is that this would be like the local courts. At the local courts in America, if a white nationalist were to do something wrong, the law would apply to you. If you would have a wrong done to you, in other words, you would have been attacked just for being a white nationalist. Well, the law wouldn't help you. there's a contradiction here. There's a double standard. But what Ms. Graham is doing, she's pointing out the double standard in a very formal way at the highest level on this planet, the UN Commissioner for Human Rights in Geneva, and is a formal complaint. But the genius of this is it allows Ms. Graham to then file suit once this claim, complaint is filed, it allows her to file suit. It allows her to file suit in any country that signed on to the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of Crime of Genocide. Anyone that signed on to that 48 convention, it allows her to file suit. She doesn't need the government to file suit. For instance, she could walk into Russia, she can get a human rights lawyer, she can then file suit. Russian courts must be open to those suits because they're signed on to the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of Crime of Genocide. She could walk into Argentina and do the same, or some of these other countries. There's several different countries. I'm going to put something on my Twitter. It shows all the different countries of the world that signed on to this. Now, some have just signed and ratified, like Russia and most of the world. Some have just acceded or succeeded, and some have only signed. But by and large, there's so many countries that have signed and ratified. So she doesn't have to sue America in America. There are court cases right now going on in America where someone has filed a complaint at the UN. And once they file a complaint at the UN, they then find a human rights lawyer in America, and then they sue that country, and that country has to answer that. But that's what she's gearing up to do. She's pointing out the contradiction in a very formal way, a very legal way, and then she's going to take the contradiction to another venue where she won't be a double standard. Now, can the Russians make it go away? No. The Russian government, I don't think, would care. It would be a matter of getting the human rights attorney to do it. Now, I'm just giving one example. There's a handful of different ways it can go. One of the other challenges with this is just like there's contradictions for us at the local legal level, it doesn't matter whether it's America or the United Kingdom. Maybe you're in London. Maybe you notice there's a double standard when it comes to white rabbits in London. Something gets done onto you, it's not a hate crime. You know, you're raped. You watch a little girl get her head cut off, raped, murdered, her head cut off for being white, but it's not a hate crime. But yet you so much as look sideways at a Pakistani rabbit, and the next thing you know, you're a Nazi who's going to kill 6 million Jews, and you're in some big tribunal. That's more than a double standard. But what this allows the double standard to come out in a very formal way, and there are several different groups attached to the United Nations that don't care about white rabbits. The Sudanese don't care about the white rabbits, but they hate our enemy. And they would love to have something to bring up in all these dog and pony show so-called human rights forums at the UN. They would love to have something to bring up to embarrass them with. The Russians would have loved to probably have this 5 or 6 years ago to start embarrassing the United States with it. They will embarrass the United States with this. Because the United States can't walk in, they can't make it go away, they got to walk in and answer it. You see the ingenious of this. What Ms. Graham is doing is she's creating a problem. That problem has a guaranteed reaction if she files suit. The reaction, of course, the solution is to make a big stink. Even if it comes to nothing, it will make a stink. And you could make a stink. Could you do this in several different countries? Yeah, absolutely. Could thousands and thousands of citizens do this and shut this thing down? Probably. That's one strategy. I'm not a legal, so that means I got to go to someone and say, what does this mean? But that's the genius of the approach. It's not a lightweight approach. But that's what the UN will wait. They'll wait and see, is this lady going to file? Because this is a clear contradiction. You know, and anyone that wants the complaint can email us, and I'll forward you the complaint. And you can send it in. $15 registered return receipt right to Geneva. You would then, if you chose to, you would look up what other country you want to bring suit through and get a human rights lawyer and bring suit. Can the country make it go away? No, because the legal process has to be open to this. It'd just be a matter of finding an attorney, you know, and it's not as, attorneys are whores, and that's one of the, many attorneys are whores for money. You're talking, once they look at it, you're talking a potential for big, big money to get involved in something like this. That's what old Bob Whitaker has talked about, is at a certain point, attorneys are going to start getting involved in this. And you never know what could happen once it gets into a formal level like the United Nations. Someone with old KGB files can come out in the suit and lay the world out with old KGB files of who knew what and what their, you know, exact statements. Stuff that we don't even know about. Anything can happen once you go into a formal process. But the groundwork for this type of thing is laid with a consistent message. Do not underestimate what we're doing. Your enemy does not. That's why our enemies so pressed for time and probably getting ready to start World War III any minute, is because they don't have the time or the power you think they have. They are losing power, seconds by seconds. Anytime a consistent message comes out, anytime that group hits their target audience, anytime it starts going geometric, which is the final phase, you have a clock on your head until that Berlin Wall is going to come down. Sooner or later, someone's going to come up, they're going to give you the one-liner, it's only so many months, and the whole thing is going to start crumbling in front of everyone's face. And then afterwards, no one will know what happened. But this is a little bit bigger than just a Berlin Wall coming down. This is we're alleging crimes have been committed. Big crimes under big laws. But that is a little overview on where we're at here. This is nothing to sneeze at. It's not a lightweight approach, but it is legal. It is simple. It is direct. It is creating problems. It is a nightmare for an enemy that is guilty. Yeah, that's one of the reasons they don't engage old Bob. He went on Fox News once. They aired it. He did the mantra, and they never aired it again. They did a second interview that never made the air. They don't want to talk about this. And they don't want that. They don't want that. Why? Because they're guilty. You know, we're not debating crime rates. That's relevant. You know, did the blacks commit 50 billion crimes last year, or was it 51 billion? These are relevant topics of discussion, believe it or not, because that's how bad it is in America. But we're not debating something like that. They'll love debating that all day long. They're not debating. We're not debating that. We're making our point, and we're making it over and over again. They would come on. You see, the neophytes come on and start debating. Even among the white national conservatives, they'll come on with Bob and they'll start debating whether or not this is a genocide. Your enemy will never do that because they know they're guilty. They don't want to get in debate over whether or not this is a genocide, because anyone that's looked at the law clearly understands what we're alleging. You know, the only ones that do this, try to debate whether or not there's a genocide, is the naive and uninformed. Our enemy is not naive, and they are not uninformed. But that's what we're doing. We're making our point over and over and over again. We're a broken record, tearing down the walls of this damn system. This system is one big pro-white genocide system. Their New World Order is always a pro-white genocide. It always involves us dying. I don't know why. I don't know why they hate us so much. I'm not a psychotherapist for the Pink Rabbits, and I don't care. We got three words for them. You gotta go. This red hippopotamus has gotta go. Legally. And that process is started. It doesn't matter if Horace the Avenger gets hit by a bus. It doesn't matter what happens to me. It is out there. It is geometric now. It is going to happen. That there's no way out now. There's no way going back. So that's what it takes. But everything has to be timed perfectly. The guys that brought down communism, the teams Bob was on, probably were no more than a half dozen, some of those teams. Definitely no more than a dozen. All it takes is one speechwriter. What's funny about this tear down this wall, the stuff Ronald Reagan, you know who the biggest protester was to tear down this wall? They read that speech and they went absolutely nuts. Chief of Staff Howard Baker objected, saying it sounded extreme and unpresidential. In fact, if you wiki tear down this wall, you'll find out that this other little National Security Advisor that Ronald Reagan appointed, stupidly appointed, Colin Powell, agreed. You know, Colin Powell raised a stink, he's going to start a war with this. But that's how it works. You know, he didn't write it, he just said it. I didn't write the mantra, I just say it. I didn't write, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. I didn't write it. I just say it. Say it over and over and over again. One of the reasons I don't use my real name, why I'm in characters, so I can articulate to you that this is what it's about. It's about repeating something. You don't have to give me credit. You don't have to give Bob credit. That's one of the problems we had in the beginning. All these little white rabbits would use it, but then they would try to give Bob credit. That's not practical politics. Practical politics is, you know, Ronald Reagan doesn't give the person credit that wrote "Tear Down This Wall." And he doesn't give the guy credit. That's his job. His job is not to get credit. He just watches the wall fall and laughs. That's what we got out of it. But full spectrum practical politics is engaging and taking down an assistant, an opponent by any means necessary, using the law, but never breaking the law. Never breaking the rules, but always using the rules against that opponent. And that's what Ms. Graham is doing brilliantly. And that's something any individual can do. It is your privilege under the law. Point out the contradictions. The more you point out the contradictions, the faster this thing comes down. And this is very, very formal. So there's a little preaching to you. A little preaching to you about what we're doing, about the progress you guys are making, because I can only put it out there. I can only do so much. At a local level, you'd be surprised how much one person can do. That's all it really takes. But when you start getting every area code, one or two in every area code, and all across Western civilization, then Northern Europe, and then it starts spreading, and it just starts pounding through the system. You can't escape it. You cannot escape sound. You cannot escape that crazy Britney Spears song, Hit Me Baby One More Time. I used that early on in the podcast, and you'd be surprised how many times I've heard that since I used it. I actually hate that song. But you can't escape that, Hit Me Baby One More Time. You can't escape that. You just can't escape this stuff. But it is a broken record. It happens off repetition. The more you repeat it, the more violent it becomes in a system. Every time you repeat it, it starts tearing it down. Online, the mantra has ended up on the SPLC's website, on their blog. What you're doing is just tearing down a system, piece by piece, the old-fashioned way, the only way we know it's brought down. It's brought down through pointing out its contradictions over and over and over and over again until the whole thing just vomits right to the ground. And that's how it's done, and that's what's being done. Now we're going to move on to some news and views. We've had some news events, but basically everything's on course. Everything's on course for World War III. Yes, it is. We've got the Japanese and the Chinese butting heads. We've got Ahmadinejad at the UN, and you know Ahmadinejad made that speech at the UN, and you know what his speech said, don't you? He said, "I'm going to steal like cornmeal." That's what he said. He doesn't look like he cares about anything. But we're going to go through some news. This podcast, I'm going to go into news and views. Ideally, on number 52, I wanted to bring out White Rabbit Psychology and Ecology, but I replaced it with this update because we had a lady who's filed these type of complaints before at the United Nations, but this time it's a little bit different because we have a consistent message that's been going on well over a year here, and it is a live hot potato, and a lot can happen quickly. But this is the type of nightmare you have to start worrying about. Because something that didn't mean something 10 years ago, Bob Whitaker talking about genocide 10 years ago now means a whole lot more. A lady filing a claim 10 years ago at the UN may mean a whole lot more. They got a lot of enemies there. But this is going to be a shortened podcast. Now what I'm going to do is rifle around the world. We haven't had any surprising news events to my listeners. Everything is moving right along. But I'm going to cruise through some different news events. We have Ahmadinejad at the UN. And prior to Ahmadinejad coming into the UN, we have interesting pieces I'm going to put on my blog. Salon magazine is online Friday, August 13, 2010. A campaign for war with Iran begins. It sure has. The interesting piece is in Atlantic, A Point of No Return, and it has an interview with Christopher Hitchens, and I've talked about this before. They're going to war. You might as well just understand that. Interesting enough, August 28, 2010, Ahmadinejad's miscalculation, this is before he went to the UN, Israel is temperate, Iran, and pragmatic. It's interesting stuff reading this after the fact. But the most fascinating thing, something that is news, this would be a big, little news release for you. Esquire magazine does something interesting. I never heard anyone else talk about it. 5 reasons Ahmadinejad might be just good for the world, and that's kind of an interesting piece. I'll post it for you guys on my Twitter. But this is something interesting that's happened over the past year. He's handing over the real authority to the thugs. Ahmadinejad's dream since day one of his first term has been the same, create a dictatorship based on a single party rather than a clergy. One that ultimately makes the president more powerful than the supreme leader. How? Marginalize the mullahs. And judging by the success of the Revolutionary Guard's military push just over a year ago, Ahmadinejad has achieved most of his aim. The guard has now extended mafia-like control over most of the economy so that all the president's men have to worry about his occasional slap on the wrist warnings from Ayatollah Khomeini about not being too argumentative in public, a sure sign of their confidence. Ahmadinejad's closest advisor recently floated the notion that Iran's brand of Shiaism is so unique that the faithful will no longer need a clergy. Nail that one to your mosque door. This is what's significant about Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad is painted as a crazy nut by the neocons, who are crazy nuts, and by the Jew rabbits, who are by and large crazy nuts, and there may be a biological reason for that. Yes, you need to go back and listen to 51. Ahmadinejad is doing some of the boldest things any Islamic, modern Islamic state has done. He's isolating the mullahs and making sure he runs the show. far cry from an Islamic extremist, isn't it? An interesting move. He's clotheslining anyone in that society that can probably hold him up for World War III. It's said that he looks like a nutball, but these moves he's making are anything but. He does look like he has a big ace in the hole. It looks like he's pretty cool and pretty confident. It doesn't look like he has a care in the world. Most people consider that crazy. I don't consider that crazy at all. Isolating, marginalizing the mullahs and making himself the most powerful guy in the country with his Revolutionary Guard is certainly a fascinating move that most people haven't talked about. Pretty aggressive for an Islamic state. But the Shia can be a lot different than what we're used to with the Sunni. And when you get up into the Shia Crescent, half of the Middle East is Shia, the other half is Sunni, most of the world is Sunni, most of the third world is Sunni, the Persians, well, they can make a run for it. I mean, they got some pretty interesting elements there. In Syria, they got some other interesting elements. Most of the Middle East, well, it's a big question mark outside the whatever would be a pure Arab. I think that's interesting. Ahmadinejad has clothespinned the mullahs, and even they're saying Khomeini, he's isolating all the people that traditionally have a great deal of power. He's isolating. Fascinating. Ahmadinejad at the UN says when war starts, it knows no limits, and who knows how crazy it'll be. We've talked about that, though. I've went over and over this. Ahmadinejad's UN speech triggers U.S. walkout. Yeah, he told him he's going to steal like cornmeal, and they're just going to have to take it. He doesn't look like he's scared of a whole lot. If I were the average Persian citizen, though, you have to be pretty much terrified because this guy doesn't really care. This guy says, I'm going to war, I'm in deep bunkers, I've been building deep bunkers, we've been preparing for this since before I was born. And they have. Interesting piece, though. This was in, VoiceOfAmericaNews.com. This is the English edition. Ahmadinejad's U.S. speech triggers walkout. And, of course, you see it all on TV. Nuclear scrutiny to turn to Israel. What the Arab states are trying to do is say, look, we got to look at Arabs, Israel's bomb. And what's happened is Team Red Hippopotamus has put together Team Pink Rabbit. He's told Little Jew Rabbit, little Arab Rabbit, they're going to have to get along. Now, I don't know if there'll be a peace deal or there won't be a peace deal. Most of the time, I'd vote against a peace deal, but I don't know what they got cooking. I don't know what they got cooking because you have the Arabs are more afraid of the Persians, are as afraid of the Persians as the actual Jews right now. That's simply a fact. Of course, the Jews will always beat for war, but when they beat for war, when they beat their drums, they're going to say instability in the Middle East, and the Arabs are concerned. There's some truth to that. The Arabs, of course, are sitting on a time bomb, a Sunni time bomb, that they really can't control many of the radical elements, and there could be a genetic reason for that as well. September 23rd, 2007, this is the Sunday Times. Sunday Times, this is in the UK. Secret Air Force team to perfect plan for Iran strike. No news there. No news there. It's called Checkmate. Checkmate's job is to add a dash of brilliance to Air Force's thinking by countering the military's tendency to fight the last war. Well, that's good. Now, of course, just recently we have a computer worm that's hit the computers of a staff at an Iran nuclear power plant. I don't know the full deal on that. That is most certainly government-backed. Could be U.S. military-backed, or it's Team Pink Rabbit-backed, no doubt about it, because Ahmadinejad is standing in the way of their new world order. And what's interesting is we're coming into, there's all this natural disaster training going on in places where it doesn't really make sense to me. Right now, at any given time on this planet, there's tons of natural disasters. It doesn't matter whether it's now or 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago, 100 years ago. Some of these survival different newsletters have created different graphs. I'm like, okay, there's a lot of natural disasters now. Is there more than usual? What type of bench line are you using? You know, because at any given time, somewhere on the world, it's the end of the world for someone. There's floods in Pakistan. There's all this stuff going on, but it's always been a lot of stuff going on. There's fires in Russia. Well, there's always a lot of fires somewhere. But right now, we're way, way above average. And there's been earthquake training for police in the United Kingdom. I think that's wild stuff. Wild stuff. And they're talking about this active volcano. And I don't have a news piece for it, so I'm looking at one of these top dollar figure survival letters that talks about an earthquake, an active earthquake underneath the somewhere in the Atlantic that could actually put part of Italy underwater and go into that area, you know, basically go toward that area. I think it's pretty wild stuff. Hold on, I'll look it up here for you for a minute. I'll go over one of these Survival Center newsletters. I can't make it available online, but I'll talk about some of the stuff they talk about. Solar storm sooner than later. NASA has backpedaled and attempted to rebut reports that a massive solar storm could write off all electrical devices and systems on Earth. It has also been said that it could be 100 years away or just 100 days. But an Australian astronomer says the space community is betting on the sooner scenario rather than later. Interesting enough, despite its rebuttal, NASA has been watching out for this storm since 2006. Reports from the U.S. this week claim that the storms could hit on the most Hollywood of disaster dates, 2012. Similar storms back in 1859 and 1921 caused worldwide chaos, wiping out telephone wires on a massive scale. It's not if, but when. We don't know if it's going to be sooner or later, but this type of thing happens. And we're gearing up toward potentially major disasters. It's interesting because I think the sun's out of place, and I think that's a problem with white rabbits, and Green Goddess may just smack it back into place. So look out if she does. But that's okay. We invent all the technology in anyways. Most of this planet would be back into the 15th century, but we'd be down for a couple months and then back no time flat. That's what's wonderful about inventing all the technology on this planet is we can make it back. Most of you non-speckly brown rabbit listeners, well, you can't make it back. And maybe that's your destiny. So let's move around the world. Volcanoes, we got crazy stuff in Chile. Let's see what they're saying. Australian floods. We got earthquakes hitting in Christchurch in Indonesia, New Zealand. We are way above average. A huge one hit New Zealand, 7.1 earthquake. It supposedly moved the Earth like 11 feet or something. I'm telling you, the Green Goddess, our Godzilla, is getting ready to smack this place silly. We got to roll with it. So all you rabbit listeners out there, all you white rabbit listeners out there, you Kiwi white rabbit listeners out there in New Zealand, you got to roll with it. Crazy stuff. Aftershocks are still coming. But of course, New Zealand, this is a great example, has as many as 15,000 earthquakes a year. These are big earthquake zones out in Asia. This is what's interesting. This is the earthquake tsunami in waiting. At the other end of the world, there's a concern about an undersea volcano in the process of collapsing, and this could lead to a major tsunami. Yeah, these newsletters are full of good information, aren't they? Full of terrifying stuff. The story starts by saying the walls of the largest underwater volcano in Europe could collapse. And since I haven't heard about this anywhere else, I'll read it to you. Releasing thousands of tons of magma, which could trigger a tsunami that would most likely inundate southern Italy. According to experts at National Institute of Geophysics and Volcanology, this isn't just conspiracy talk. They show images of the Marsili volcano. Pretty interesting. The Marsili volcano, if I pronounce it correctly, which has an active magma chamber, also has areas losing magmatism and a large amount of weak and permeable rock supporting it, which researchers said means that walls could essentially crumble at any time with the right seismic activity. And if that happens, the result could be catastrophic. No shit, Sherlock. When it might happen is anyone's guess. The Marsili volcano hasn't erupted since researchers began watching it, but below the surface, researchers said that Marsili is definitely active as an eruption could come at any time. If the tsunami was triggered, it could impact areas of Sicily and Sardinia. Gee, you think? Could happen tomorrow. And of course, all these letters say all this stuff indefinitely, but we are way above average for this type of thing. And that was one you had to pay to get. I ended up getting it without someone passing it on to me, and I thought I'd read some different stuff to you. But if you're thinking there's a lot more natural disasters than normal, and if you're thinking what normal is and what type of benchmark, well, apparently we're way above average. Way above average. And let's move back to Europe since we're talking about tidal waves inundating, earthquakes hitting the UK and tidal waves hitting hitting the Italian rabbits. My advice for the Italian rabbits would hop up there and get to the Alps, baby. That's right, get hopping. Just roll with it. Or better yet, you might want to just get on a big surfboard if you see it coming and try to hit it square on. You never know, you might end up all the way in Moscow. That's what I would do. If I were in California and the big one hit and I saw some big tidal wave coming toward me in San Francisco, I'd get on the biggest surfboard I could. I'd get down the tallest building I could. I'd aim right for, right for the Midwest. Of course, you'd grab your MP3 full of Horus the Avengers, Follow the White Rabbit, and I'd hit it square on. You never know. You could be famous. Hey, stranger things have happened. Worrying about such things is impossible because I don't care how much prepared, and these newsletters are all about preparedness. preparations for such events, and they take it serious. Governments sometimes take it seriously, but let me explain something to you. And this is one that the governments actually read. Certain governments read. There is no way to prepare for something like that. Yeah, that's what I would do. If I were in New York and a big tidal wave was rolling out from the Vasili volcano coming back across the Atlantic, I would walk down the street yelling death to the kikes or something like that, and I'd get on the biggest surfboard I can, head to the top of the Empire State Building, and then just aim for the Midwest. Yeah, I would. I'd aim some crazy death to pink rabbits everywhere. Yeah, funny stuff. Impossible to prepare for, though. Impossible to prepare for. But anyways, normally this is a family-friendly podcast, but I think I left that realm for a couple seconds there. All right, let's move over to Europe. Swedish government seeks ways to exclude far right. The funny thing is that Europeans, the crazy Jew rabbits and all the pink rabbits created this big problem. This problem is letting in a bunch of non-white rabbits and trying to create a blended humanity. Their big problem is the what I will call the white rabbit genocide. The angle, the dialectic, and I'll go into that in white rabbit psychology and ecology. I got a whole big thing prepared for you guys that'll be out sometime after this one that we're still working on. But this whole problem they created is that Europeans are not ethnocentric. We are incumbent on one person representing us in any given area. Only one person is going to be good at physics in a particular area. Right now in the area I'm in, there's one. I got one white rabbit that's pretty good at working on a car. I mean, he's amazing. You don't need more than that. What they did was they shut down the Bob Whitakers, they shut down the David Dukes, they shut down all these guys, and immediately they repressed race. Whatever you repress in a European population, you're going to get lots of. Why? I don't know why. You got whys for that? Why do your neighbors think you're racist? They actually believe they're racist. Yes, they do. And why do your ancestors think they were evil sinners going to burn in hell? I don't have whys for you. I do not have whys for you, but I know whatever you repress, I went into this repressive negative conditioning. I would just simply use the word repress in this time. Whatever you repress in the European population, they're going to start conditioning themselves, and it's going to go the direct opposite. I have no idea. I think the sun's out of my place myself. But they repress race, and now everything's racial. No one was talking about race in Iowa 50 years ago. No, they weren't. If you go to some old timer that grew up in the farm country of America, no one was talking about race. That's all they talk about. No one was talking about race in Norway or Finland 50 years ago. That's all they talk about now. Race, 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 race. That's a problem. Europeans are not, the indigenous white rabbits of Europe are very, very unique. We're not going to respond to stimuli and input the way you think. We are not Neanderthal hybrids. We're going to respond to something a little bit different. And what they're responding at is lots of race. Wow, go figure. You know, if you shut down that one white rabbit in every area and you start repressing race, the next thing you know, you've got white nationalism and Stormfront and all this crazy stuff going on now. Most people think that the Jew propaganda deraciated us. I used to think that too. No, that's flawed. It actually made us more racial. What they did was they zapped our pride. That's what demoralization does. And in zapping our pride, it basically shut down the Bob Whitakers, etc. If you shut down him, you end up with Bob's got his own blog online, and he's got a couple dozen aspiring little Bob Whitakers. And this has happened across the board. We are not that racial to begin with, any more than we're all good at physics or we're all good at fixing a car. We are extremely specialized. And I've come to believe that that is not recent. Yeah, we're not just a bunch of hunter-gatherers who got up and then started evolving. We're something special. Yeah, that's what the Green Goddess told me. But anyways, they're trying to shut down the far right. What else is new? And some of these far right guys have hid their views, and some of them are far right. Yeah, some of them are really far right. And let's go on through this. George Soros urges France to stop mass expulsion of Roma. Now, of course, the Roma are pretty funny. Most of you don't know what they believed. They believed that the first Roma performed an act of grace, and that act of grace was some type of theft. And this is really what these people believe. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he was destined to be nailed on the cross with four nails. And two in each hand and one in each foot, and two in his feet. And one of the first Roma stole one of the nails for his feet. And because that theft was an act of mercy on God's Son, they're therefore allowed to steal from all non-Roma. That's pretty crazy stuff, isn't it? And if you've ever been to Ireland, you've ever been to any, they're all over Europe now. They are hijacking and thieving themselves silly. They've created a problem. Even the normal liberal, the Sarkozys, they want to get rid of them. And, you know, they're walking around, apparently walking around behind closed doors, say Hitler's right, they gotta go. I mean, they basically are the parasites of parasites. They'll steal everything not tied down. They believe it's a religion. What do you do against someone that has a religious, a religion that says such things, and they have to live with other people in a society. And Soros is plying his trade, which is kind of funny, and Sarkozy wants to get rid of him. I mean, they're not kidding. These guys the Roma have created a huge problem. You know, as Europe has done better, in some of these places, they're just parasites. They're just another brand of parasites. And of course, their beliefs support their parasitism. Maybe Mr. Soros feels a kinship. Okay, let's move on to New York Times here. Interesting piece, and it's about time. New York Times, German identity, long dormant, reasserts itself. It's about damn time. It's about time. And it's an interesting piece. I'll throw it up for you to read. It's just recent, you know, it talks about Oktoberfest, it talks about how everyone in Germany is starting to get itself back together. And, of course, it's acceptable now because Germany is a nice multicultural country, so it can feel good about itself. It's an interesting spin. Meanwhile, most of the Germans are, my advice for anything non-German or anything that doesn't look German is run, rabbit, run. Hop, rabbit, hop. Get the hell out of there. Interesting stuff going on out east, but I've already made you aware of this. I definitely made you aware of this. On the stuff between China and Japan gearing up. There's been a Japan-China fishing dispute that blew up into this huge big brouhaha. But it's time for things to blow up into a huge big brouhaha. It's on my Twitter. You can go there and read about it. But I expect all of Asia to blow up. And I went over this before. I did a big war prep for Asia. Interesting enough, China firm aims to build big nuclear reactor plant for Pakistan. Yeah, the old red hippo. He doesn't like that. Pink Rabbit has his problems. His energy policy is being opposed by not only China. Elements in China are wreaking havoc across the globe, but of course Iran and this nuclear power. Interesting stuff. There's mud in your eye. And of course Russia's running its game across Northern Europe. Russia continues to ply its trade. You will see them sell weapons to Syria, then back down on selling something to Iran, then turn around and sell something to someone else. They are constantly moving their game. They're constantly running thesis, antithesis, synthesis. They're doing, it doesn't make sense. You know, it was funny. I get these responses that the Jews in Russia are selling missiles to Syria so that Israel can attack Syria. Well, that's good thinking. Except there's one problem. Under that logic, the Jews in Russia would be building power plants for Ahmadinejad so Israel could attack Ahmadinejad. That's not so simple. They're running a game. And across Northern Europe, they're signing Arctic Borders treaties with Norway. They're signing things with Denmark. They're running their Northern European game, and I've talked about that before. I talked about that would be the next sign as they close off their near and abroad. As they fix up the Caucasus, as they get everything going, they're going to go across Northern Europe, and that is all German soft power. That is all that is, regardless of what the Germans think. The ones that get upset about German soft power are German rabbits and white rabbits. They don't believe there's such a thing. Well, get ready. There is such a thing. The only ones on planet Earth that would believe the white rabbits in Germany don't have any soft power are white rabbits in Germany. And the only ones on planet Earth that believe white rabbits aren't capable of doing anything astounding are white rabbits. It's our nature. We always think the worst things about ourselves, and it's kind of funny. And we're gonna, let's see what else here. Yeah, here we go. Russia irresponsible for selling arms to Syria. Yeah, they're selling some type of cruise missile to Syria. It's for defense purposes, of course. But they didn't sell something else to Iran. They didn't sell those big S-300 batteries to Iran. You know why? Because the Chinese probably already sold it to them or something. It's okay. It's just pooty-poot. I ain't mad at you. Wait till we see new World War III start up. Who knows what the Russians have done? Who knows what the Russians have done? They've set up all kinds of stuff, and you can see it. You can see the pattern of their behavior. It's consistent. It'll wreak havoc once this comes about. Elements in China and elements in Japan are going to wreak havoc. Well, I don't know. White rabbits are spread across the whole top of the planet. We got Australia. We got all these, the United Kingdom. We got all of Europe. We got Russia. We got North America. Hell, we can go take your country too. You listening to me from, Syria or maybe Iraq? We can take your country too. Sure we can. But of course we don't have a home. So we're still on a consistent message. We still have this little problem here as we come into the end game. That's what we are doing. We're coasting into the end game. Looking for our clues. But I will be back with you here. That's going to be a shortened, it's going to be a shortened 52. We do news and views, and I did an update for you on something very, very big happening at a very high level, pointing out a contradiction. And that's the contradiction of we have all this stuff, but we don't have a home. Oh, fine whores a home. And of course, if someone says they want white rabbits in their country, you know, I'm just waiting for some leader like Putin to say, you know what, I like my white rabbits. I think I'll keep them that way. I think I'll get more of them. Well, that'll be land breaking. That'll be landmark. That'll be earth shattering. But things are shaping up for us. Things are shaping up for us. Coming into World War III, one thing I do know, we have minimal exposure. Yeah, the Green Goddess our Godzilla is out working. She's working all sides of the angles and she's up to tricks. She's going to be up to tricks in the Middle East. But, we have minimal exposure. There are some rabbits that are up there on the head of Godzilla. They're up serving in that military. They're up, sir, you're on the head of the Green Goddess. We're behind her. You're on the head. Get ready for a wild ride, but there's still, even if we include all the soldiers, and in my opinion, we shouldn't have one in harm's way, but if we include all the white soldiers on planet in harm's way, we still have minimal exposure. Most of the world, if you're sitting in China, or you're sitting in Iran, or you're sitting in the big cesspool of the Middle East, what we will call the toxic rabbit zone, you have maximum exposure. Some elements of the world have maximum exposure. We're spread out here and we're just, wondering what's going on here. How's this gonna work for us? But, by and large, coming into World War III, we got most of this planet getting ready to go at it, and we are spread out over these massive tracts of land, surrounded by missile interceptors and everything else. And, we're sitting pretty. We're not doing anything except looking for clues from the Green Goddess and Godzilla and staying on our consistent message, until we get a home at least. But we'll see how this works up, and things are going to start speeding up very quickly and may go in some, very interesting areas, and I'll try to be back with you if it does happen. My fear is not the conventional. My fear is the unconventional, because the unconventional, most of my listeners are ready for, especially the white nationalists and even the survivalists are ready, for most things, but they're not, they're ready for earthquakes, they're ready for tidal waves, they're ready for race wars, real hawas and so forth, but they're not ready for where this may go. And it may go there quick. You're not ready for that. I know I wasn't. I wasn't. And I'll try to help you with that. I've talked about this stuff as much as I can. You can only go in a direction. And, we will continue this conversation into the next Follow the White Rabbits. And this is another episode of Horus the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. Thank you for listening. We are now at the end of another episode of Horus the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. And this podcast is, of course, all as always, dedicated to practical politics. But I'd like to take this time to thank you for tuning in to another episode. On behalf of the Indigenous White Rabbits of Europe, it is yours truly, Horus the Avenger. And I'll be back with you in another episode in the near future. Until then, thank you for listening. So pale when you let me